You brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. These words from John to the crowds that were gathered may not seem like words of love. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, and we focus on love, and we find once again our gospel is focused on the ministry of John the Baptist. And he's calling out the people of Israel, calling them to repentance. You brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And if you do not bear fruit, see, the axe will be there to chop down the tree. These seem words filled with judgment, and yet they're words that are filled with love. Tough love, yes, certainly. John is truly a prophet in the spirit of the Old Testament prophets, where he speaks God's word to God's people. Sometimes that's a word of comfort, a word of promise, and sometimes it's a word that calls to shake us up, to move us out of our complacency, to get back on track with God. So in the wilderness, John is out there proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And when the people who hear John, and they hear about him, and they go to take a look, and they say, well, we're sons and daughters of Abraham. What do we have to worry about? Going back to the Old Testament promise of idea that the people of Israel were chosen by God, and that simply by being Israelites, their spot with God was secure. To which John says, that's not what God is teaching you. God could take these stones and turn them into the inheritors of Abraham if that's all that was required. Instead, God wants our heart, to love God with all of our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So he calls the crowd out, you brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of redemption. Bear fruit. In other words, demonstrate God's love through your life, through the way you conduct yourself, through the choices that you make. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, what's amazing is that in this gospel account that we get today, is instead of getting defensive and saying, well, how dare you, John the Baptist, call us out? How dare you question our inheritance from Abraham? They say, what shall we do? You've convinced us, John, by your powerful word, by your prophetic ministry, you've convinced us. What should we do? And John instructs them on some very concrete things. If you have two coats, share with one who doesn't have any. If you're a tax collector, don't take more than you're supposed to. And if you're a soldier, don't bully or extort people because you have power. It's these very simple things that were common, of course, in the day of John, in the day of Jesus, that you had a wealth gap between those who had plenty and those who had very little or nothing. To begin to share. I mean, these things sound like the lessons we learn in kindergarten, don't they? Share. Don't cheat. Don't be a bully. These are very simple things. And for John, these are the fruits of repentance. When instead of as a tax collector, which was rampant in those days, they were collecting taxes from the Jewish people to give to the Romans, and tax collectors would sort of wet their beak, I think is a term, and they would take a little bit more than they were supposed to, and they enriched themselves. And so John doesn't say to the tax collectors, quit your job. Quit your job because tax collecting is on behalf of the Romans and it's corrupt. The call to repentance is not for tax collectors to stop being tax collectors. It's to be good tax collectors. Similarly, to the soldiers who were notorious, there was this rule in the Roman Empire where a Roman soldier could compel anyone to carry their backpack, which was often like 75 pounds. They could compel any passerby to carry it for 1 mile. And they could compel anyone to do any number of things. And so John's call to repentance for the soldier is, don't use your power corruptly. Don't extort people for money or for other privileges. Instead, be a good soldier. Do your duty and take care of the people. John doesn't call them to abandon their post. And this is quite striking because it's to the whole crowd. John's message to bear fruits worthy of repentance is not to go off into the wilderness and abandon your everyday life. In fact, it's to go back into your everyday life and to put love of neighbor at the center of whatever you do, whatever your profession, whatever your station or privilege in life, to be a bearer of God in your life. That is a powerful message from John, and it's a powerful message for us today. So whatever your position, your profession is, you in that position have the opportunity to bear fruit for a world that desperately needs God's love and the light of Christ. And they hear John. They hear John's message and they respond. They become baptized. And in those days, baptism was understood as being as a cleansing, as a ritual cleansing of sin, so that they could emerge forgiven, to be set free and to be set apart. Now, the crowds were so moved by John and his preaching and his teaching and his call to repentance and this baptism, and they're now beginning to think the Messiah is coming because that's part of what John said. And they're thinking, well, maybe it's John. We've never seen anyone do what John has done and is doing, to speak so powerfully, so compellingly. And John senses, because he is filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, it's not me, one is coming after me, and I'm not worthy to tie the thong of his sandals. I baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism of John prepares people for the coming of Jesus, to get their hearts ready, to turn away from the power of sin and darkness, and to turn toward God once again, to be aligned in mind, body, and spirit with the kingdom of God. And John's message is, get ready. God's about to do a new thing, and that through Jesus, you will be baptized not just for the forgiveness of sin. No, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit means that God's very presence is with you, that the Holy Spirit will nudge and guide you so that you might better love God and love neighbor. To be baptized in fire is about refinement. It's about transformation. It's about a process of being made more and more holy, so that we might share God's love in the world. As we lit our Advent candle this morning, we heard that short passage from 1 John. And to summarize, it simply suggests that where God's Where love is present in the world, God is present. That God is love. And as we think about the loving words that we hear from Jesus, and today the word from John that's loving but in a challenging way, in a way that says, you can do better. You can start anew. You can bear the love of God in your life, your everyday life. Through baptism, we are called children of God, and we're given a calling to be the light of Christ in the world, to be the very hands and feet of Christ, to share God's love at work, at school, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, and with people we've never even met before. Each day we have the opportunity to share this amazing gift of love. May we do so by the Holy Spirit. Amen.